Okay, so let's begin. Today, I want to talk about what happened at Sinai. I want to talk about what happened. And did the B'nai Israel hear the Dibros directly from Hashem? Did they hear it from Moshe? And if they heard the Dibros from Moshe, what did they actually, I'm sorry, if they heard the Dibros directly from Hashem, what did they actually hear? So what we're first going to do, I'm sure we're aware that this is a machlokes, this is a debate amongst the Mefarshim. So we're first going to examine the evidence from Tanakh, and then we will discuss three approaches. And I'm going to suggest that the three approaches do not are not simply textual questions, but they actually reflect a much broader philosophical question, which is what is the purpose of Mamad Har Sinai? So let's begin with some evidence from Sefer Devarim, because as we know, that the story of Mamad Har Sinai takes place in Parshas Yisro, this week's Parsha, but it's repeated in Parshas is it was it Vayeschanan or Devarim? In Sefer Devarim, Perek Dalet and Perek Hey. So first, if you look just I'm going through a few psukim, and the in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Beis, the Torah says, "Vaydeber Hashem aleichem mitocha eish, kol devar matem shomim utmuna inchem roim zulati kol." Hashem spoke to you from the fire, so you heard a sound of words. You didn't see a picture; you only heard a sound. This, of course, indicates that there was a direct revelation. They heard directly from God. I'm not going to try to now explain those who say they didn't hear it. What does this mean? But let me first provide with all the evidence and show the evidence that seems to support they heard directly from Hashem, the evidence they heard they didn't. And so this Perek Dal Pasuk Yud Beis seems to be they heard directly from Hashem. Again, Pasuk Tesvav, Biyom Diber Hashem Aleichem Bechorim Mitoch Eish. Again, Hashem spoke to you at Sinai. Again, that seems to indicate direct revelation. We move down Perek Dal Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Hashema Am Kol Elokim Medaber Mitoch Ha'esh Kasher Shamata Atav Vayechi. Has anyone heard the voice of God speaking out of a fire as you did and survived? Again, seems to indicate they heard this directly. Pasuk Lamed Vav Min Hashemayim Mishmiachas Kolo Liasreka. From the heavens, He let you hear His voice to discipline you. Again, Udvarav Shamata Mitoch Ha'esh. You heard His words from the fire. In Perek Hey Pasuk, sorry, I'm going quickly, but Perek Hey Pasuk Dalet, Panim be Panim Diber Hashem Imachem, face to face, as it were, God spoke with you in the mountain. Okay? So that indicates all those psukim indicate that on the simple understanding that Hashem spoke to us directly. Of course, we go to the very next pasuk, Perek Hey, Pasuk Hey. Moshe says, "Anochi omed ben Hashem v'neichem." Whoa, I stood between God and between you. Ba'esa, he at that time lagid lochem esdevar Hashem to tell you the word of God. Ki yoreisem mipnei ha'esh bahar, because you were afraid from the fire, you didn't go up. So now we're starting to see about Moshe has to mediate between God and between the B'nai Yisrael. And if we go now to our parsha in Perek Yotes, Pasuk Tes. So at least the plan. Hashem, Vayomer Hashem Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, "Hinei Anochi Ba Elecha Ba'av Ha'anan." Behold, I will speak. I'm coming to you in a thickness of a cloud. Bavur Yishma Am Dabri Mach, so the people will hear when I speak with you. So it seems to indicate what? That the people will overhear my conversation with you, Moshe. God will speak to Moshe, B'nai Yisrael will overhear, whatever that means. And then you also have this cryptic pasuk in Perek Yotes, Pasuk Yotes, Vayi Kol HaShofar Holech V'Chazek Ma'od. The sound of the shofar was very strong. Moshe Yedaber, Moshe spoke. Elokim Yedaber, God, I guess, answered him with a voice. Seems that both Moshe and God speak to the B'nai Yisrael. So that's the textual evidence, besides one more piece of evidence. and that is the, and I think I spoke about this before, the grammatical inconsistency in Perek Chaf. Right? What's the difference between the first two Dibros and the last eight in terms of the grammar, the tense? The difference between the first two and the last eight? Right? The first Perek Chaf Pasuk Beis, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Sorry. One second. I am Hashem your God. Lo yalacha Elohim achim apanai. You should not have any other gods besides me. Right? So, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Kelkana, I am a jealous God. That is God speaking, seemingly. God says, I took you out of Egypt, don't have any other gods instead of me. And then, once we get to the third Dibra in Pasuk Zayim, Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha Lashav, don't bear God's name in vain. Kilo Yonaka Hashem, Asher Yisa Hashem Lashav, because God will not forgive someone who swears falsely by his name. How is this a change?
It's the third person, right?
In other words, the first two Dibros, it's almost as if Hashem is, it seems Hashem is speaking to Bnei Yisrael, because he says, don't have any gods besides me. And from the third Dibron on, it's don't swear God's name, don't say God's name in vain. It doesn't say don't say my name in vain. In other words, the indication here is that the indication from the switch from first person to third person might support the position that maybe the first two God spoke directly to the people, because that's what he's saying. That's what he said. It's in first person, and the rest of the Dibros were said in the third person, indicating that maybe God spoke directly during the first two and not the remaining Dibros. Okay.
You know, Lemo may also indicate that. Who's he telling it to? In other words, Lemo usually says, tell it to somebody else.
It's true, but usually it says, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. I understand. So the question is, what does Lemor mean? The question is, what does Lemor mean? But all I'm saying is, your classic speech is, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Darber el Bnei Yisrael, and doesn't say that here. So I understand your Lemor, but again, I might have said the opposite, because Vayedaber Hashem Kima called it Vimaela, Lemor. It seems like he's just saying it.
And either way,
not to Moshe, but it doesn't mention. He doesn't say to Moshe. So let's.
Eight colors for him seems he's saying he said everything.
Yeah,
he's saying it to one person.
Well, I don't know. But Lemor. So they've midrashim. What does the word Lemor come to teach us? Okay, you know, there's a Rashi with the midrashim on that. So we're going to discuss three approaches. Okay, first approach is the Rambam. The Rambam says the following: Hilchos Yisodei Torah, Perek Ches, Halacha Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu lo aminu bo Yisrael b'nei Osher Shasa. The Bnei Yisrael didn't believe that Moshe is the true prophet because of the signs that he performed. Shemamin al pia osa sheish believe al dofi. Because those who believe based on signs, they might have a thought that it may not be true. Shefshar Shiyasa os balot v'kishuf. Because basically, someone convinces them that they are the true prophet based on some signs that they do, miracles they perform, that might only be because of trickery or witchcraft. Hold on 1 second. Okay, so Ella, Kola Oso, She Asa Moshe Bamidbar, Lefiat Tzorach Asa Moshe, he performed those miracles because they were necessary for the time. Lola Havi Rayal Navua. The purpose of the miracles that Moshe performed was not to establish his credentials. It was simply because it was necessary at the time. He needed to drown the Egyptians, so he had to split the sea. Tzorchein l'mazon, so we needed food. He brought us the man. Then we got thirsty, so he split the rock, hit the rock. Kafru bo adas korach baloso ma'oret. So Korach, the congregation, denied in Moshe. It caused the earth to swallow them up. V'chein shor kolosos. This was the case with all of these signs. Uvameh minu bo. And so how did they believe him as the prophet? B'mamad Har Sinai. At Mamad Har Sinai, sheinenu ra'u. v'lo zar, that our eyes saw, not a stranger. V'aznenu shamu, and our ears heard, v'lo acher, no one else. Ha'esh v'akos v'lapidim, the fire, the sounds, the lapidim. V'hu nigash el ha'rafel, Moshe came close to the darkness. Now, v'akol midaber, a love, and a sound was speaking to him, to Moshe. V'anu shomim, Moshe, Moshe, lech emor lahem kafakach. And we heard God say what? Moshe, Moshe, go tell them this. V'cheinu omer, panim panim diber Hashem echem. As the Torah says, so Rambam is focusing on that it says that face Hashem spoke with us face to face. V'nemar lo, as I was saying across Hashem as a brisa zos. Hashem did not enact a treaty with our ancestors, but with us. Minayin shemamen ar Sinai levado hi arayel en vuoso shi emashin badofi. How do you know that this was a proof for Moshe's prophecy? Shenemar, hinochi ba ilecha ba'av ha'anam ba'vo yishma ha'medabri imach v'gamecha yamino lolam. The purpose of Hashem coming to Moshe in the thickness of a cloud is so that they will believe in Moshe. Miklal shekorem zeh, davar zeh, because of before this, lo aminu bo ne'mono shi ha'omeres la'ad. They didn't have a faith in Moshe that would be everlasting. But there could be a faith that could be short-lived. Now, so basically, all that the Rambam writes, and we're going to try to make it a little clearer from the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam simply says, what did they hear? They heard, Moshe, Moshe, lechem or lehem kach v'kach. In the Mor Nevuchim, he says a little more, and I just brought it in English to translate it. He says, it is clear to me that when Moshe experienced the revelation at Mount Sinai, it was different from that which was experienced by all other Israelites. For Moshe alone was addressed by God, and for this reason, the second person singular is used in the Ten Commandments. Right, Hashem is speaking to Moshe, so that's fine. Moshe then went down to the foot of the mountain and told his fellow men what he had heard. Right, it says, compare, I stood between Hashem and you, at that time, to tell you the word of Hashem, right? Here he's focusing on Anochi Omeid between Hashem and between you. Again, Moshe spoke, and God answered him with a loud voice. In the Mechilta, our sages say distinctly that he brought to them every word as he heard it. Furthermore, the words, in order to the people hear when I speak with you, show that God spoke to Moshe, and the people only heard the mighty sound, not distinct words. It is to the perception of this mighty sound that the Torah refers to the passage, when you hear the sound. Again, it is stated, you heard a sound of words. It is not said you heard words. And even where the hearing of the words is mentioned, only the perception of sound is meant. It was only Moshe that heard the words, and he reported them to the people. This is apparent from the Torah and for the utterances of Chazal in general. In other words, the Rambam is of the opinion that the Bnei Yisrael didn't really hear almost anything. They heard a sound. Maybe they heard God say to Moshe. Maybe heard God say, Moshe, tell them this and this. But the actual dibros they didn't hear. Now, if you look in the next paragraph, it says, for these two principles, the existence of God.
Could be they heard a sound, but they couldn't make it up.
Right, they heard a sound. No,
what it meant.
No, that's what I mean. I'm sorry. So I wasn't clear. Yes, exactly. They heard a sound, but they didn't understand what it meant. Correct. For these two, and that's what the Torah says. The Torah said they heard a call, they heard a sound. For these two principles, the existence of God and His unity can be arrived at by means of reasoning, and whatever can be established by proof is known by the prophet in the same way as by any other person. These two principles were not known through prophecy alone, but the rest of the commandments are of an ethical and authoritative character and do not contain truths perceived by the intellect. So he says something that probably nowadays we might disagree with. But the Rambam writes that the first dibros are foundations of faith for which every person is able to attain through reason. It's interesting. I might have thought just the opposite. The idea that, I mean, it could be that the Bnei Israel who saw the miracles of God in Mitzrayim, they were able to understand, to intuit the first two dibros through reason. The last eight commandments, which are moral laws, they're not pure logic, and they can only be achieved through prophecy. We can question that, and some of those things we might think they're obvious. But the Rambam's position, essentially, is that the nation heard or they perceived some sort of sound by which they were intellectually understand the first two commandments, but unable to make sense of the rest. Or they heard a sound to make them understand that there were words to be directed to Moshe with the intention that he relate them to the rest of the people. Maybe the people actually heard the phrase, Moshe, go tell them this and this. Again, the Rambam is of the opinion in general that prophecy, not everyone can achieve prophecy. In other words, that you have to be on a certain level to achieve prophecy. So only Moshe was really on the level to achieve this prophecy. The first two commandments, they sort of intuited, they sort of understood the first two. They got the first two. But really, according to the Rambam, they couldn't, maybe they heard some sound, but they couldn't make out any of it. So Moshe had to say everything, had to explain everything to them. Maybe the first two, they intuited. So that's sort of the first approach, saying that the people just overheard a voice at Sinai. The Ibn Ezra has the exact opposite approach. The Ibn Ezra says, "Vayedaber Elokim, yei sheilot kashot b'parsha hazot." So there are many difficult questions with this parsha. Amru Rabim, ki shnaim devarim levadam amru Hashem. God said two things. Veidosam shikasu v'dibar risha anochi Hashem alkecha v'sheni ki anochi Hashem alkecha. Okay, the first was, I am Hashem, your God. The second was, that I am Hashem, your God. V'shlishi kasu v'shem Hashem alkecha. The name of Hashem, your God. Gam asher yisa shmo lashav. So now he's pointing out, wait, the third commandment, right, the first two, God said himself. And then the third one, it doesn't say, Lo Sisa Hashem Hashem, it doesn't say, don't bear my name, right, it says his name. And the fifth commandment, Asher Hashem Elokecha, Lo Sin Lach. So the Ibn Ezra points out, wait a second, how can it be the first two are in first person, the last eight are in third person? Now I'm going to explain to you. Aseret HaDvarim, the Ten Commandments. Kasher Heim Ksuvim Parsha Zos. Hashem Amram Kulam. Hashem said everything, all of them. Ki Kasuv, because what does it say? Vardeber Elokim Es Kol HaDvarim Ha'Ela. God said all these things. He said all Ten Commandments. And Utchilasa Manochi. Vesof HaMachol Shel Recha. So Hashem said everything to the Bnei Yisrael, according to Ibn Ezra. V'gam Moshe Amar Kasher Yizkir Aseret HaDvarim. And also in Sefer Devarim, most of the psukim in Sefer Devarim that we mentioned seem to indicate that Moshe said them directly. There wasn't anything in between them, no intermediary, no interruption. They're all written in the finger of God, as it were. Hashem said all of them. And he writes here, he says, it's true, there are those who say the last eight were not said directly by God, because it's not first person, but I can respond to that. And this is how you respond. So in other words, after the Bnei Yisrael accepted God as their God and to have no other gods, so now we're going to speak about God in third person. In other words, Hashem, in the first two commandments, Hashem introduces himself to the Bnei Yisrael and say, I am Hashem, your God, who took me out of Egypt, and don't serve any other gods besides me. I am the exclusive God. Once they accept that, so now let me tell you about God, who is me. So now it switched into third person, yeah?
And the luchos in Yisro are not the same luchos as they are in Beis Chanah.
Correct.
So what was said, what, and when?
It seems that, well, it seems that they, that that's a separate shir, but, I mean, it's the Medrash which says, Shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad. They were said together. How is that possible? I don't know how. That's a question. Were they all said together? Was one a translation of what Hashem said? That's an interesting, it's a machlokes, I believe, as to whether Hashem said both, how that's possible, I don't know, or was, I think that there's another view that one is what Hashem said, and the other one is Moshe's translation. That's a separate question. It's a good question. It's a separate question.
It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Echad
diber l'kim shtayim shemata. Right. Yeah. That indicates that basically he said he was able to say both somehow. That no one can do that. But the Ibn Ezra basically says that that's the style. Once you accepted Hashem as your God, now he's going to speak in third person. And Ibn Ezra writes, "Ki yareisim bnei ha'esh v'imlo alitem bahar." So when it says that you were afraid, right, in hey, that is, and then Hashem spoke with you from the fire. V'itachen lios perush anochi omei ben Hashem achar maman ar Sinai. The Ibn Ezra will say that one pasuk which says that Moshe stood between God and the Bnei Israel, as it were, as an intermediary, that was after they heard the Ten Commandments. Vatam shu diber mechem panim b'panim, right? Perik dal pasuk hein sefer devarim says that Hashem spoke with you face to face. Then he gave the Ten Commandments, and then after that, me oso yom hayisi ani omei ben Hashem v'necha. But after that, Hashem Moshe was intermediary between God and the people. Ki yareisim, because you were afraid. In other words, you had all Ten Commandments. Bnei Yisrael got afraid, and that's sort of the end, right? The end after Seder Sedibros, Torah says they were afraid, and indeed they became afraid after the Ten Commandments. And Hashem said, okay, so now after Ten Commandments, now rest. You're going to hear directly from Moshe. And in fact, Ibn Ezra again, just a little more. Ibn Ezra says, "Ki lefi dati b'dabri imcha al aseres hadvarim yedaber." So he says that where it says that when Hashem says I'm going to speak with you, so first he's saying regarding the aseres hadivros, and then he says kinishmas Moshe aisha deveka b'Hashem, that Moshe was connected to God. Ki Moshe hayom medaber b'tachti sahar im Hashem lishol lo, that Moshe was under the mountain to ask God like instructions. Va'kasev lo gila mahaya shoel, the Torah didn't say what he asked. Hashem onehu bekol shoya Moshe shomo, and Hashem sort of responded to him, and so the Ibn Ezra sort of discusses this is Yud Tes Tes. So sorry, let me go back to this pasuk in Yud Tes Tes, which says that Moshe daver v'al kimyanenu bekol. Ibn Ezra says this all takes place before Matan Torah. This takes before Matan Torah, that he's getting instructions. And there it says that, right, V'cholam roim esakolos, and then says that all the people, after Seder Dibros, they saw the sounds, and it said, the Ibn Ezra writes, when they saw the kolos, the lapidium, they got afraid. V'cholam shofar shalishma kizabolam, they heard the sound of the shofar, they'd never heard it before. Vesahar levado Hashem, and the smoky mountain. So shekol echad sari mokom amado v'shav achroni. And then, so after Mamar Sinai, that's when they got scared. And then v'yomro konim roshim atol shekvorim elav heimin dibru imo. And the Kohanim and the leaders of the tribes, they spoke to Moshe. Achrei sheneishmu aseres hadibros, aseres hadvarim, after the Ten Commandments, then they were afraid. That's Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra is the second approach, that the people heard the words directly from Hashem, all Ten Commandments. Moshe only stood as the intermediary after Sinai because the people were afraid of hearing directly from Hashem. And the pasuk that says that Moshe spoke and Hashem answered him, that pasuk is discussing events before the revelation. The third approach is dividing up the first two and the last eight. So Rashi says explicitly in Yotes and Shmos, Moshe daber kishaya Moshe medaber mishmiya dibros liYisrael. When Moshe spoke and he said the dibros to Klal Yisrael, sharei lo shamim pi agvura el anochi v'lo yeh. Hashem only told Moshe the Bnei Yisrael the first two. Vakadosh Baruch Hu mesayo lasei spokoch lios kolim magbir v'nishma. So after the first two, when Hashem said directly, so Moshe daver v'kim yanenu b'kol, Moshe would say, Hashem would strengthen him. How could Moshe speak so that millions of people could hear what Moshe is saying? Hashem helped Moshe, I guess, you know, speak with a megaphone, as it were. So they would be able to hear Moshe give over the Aseres HaDibros. So Rashi clearly distinguishes between the first two and the last eight. And as I mentioned, these psukim indicate that the revelation was direct, the psukim. And then, if you take this approach, the first two, the last eight, so you can say the psukim, which indicate that the revelation was direct, that they heard the, that they heard it directly, that refers to the first two dibros. And the psukim that indicate otherwise refer to the last eight, after the Bnei Yisrael said, we're afraid. The Bnei Yisrael said, we're afraid. That happened between the first two and the last eight. Now, why would we split? Why was there this? What happened between the first two and the last eight? Was it indeed a concession to the Bnei Yisrael after their fear? That's one explanation. That maybe that's Rashi's approach. The Ramban though says no. The Ramban says he says that the first two, right? In Ramban and Perichov Pasuk Zayin. He cites this medrash of the first two Hashem spoke, but then he says, "Bevadai shekol aseres hadibro shamu kol yisrael mipi Elokim ki pshuto shel kasuv," that all ten dibros Bnei Yisrael heard. Avol b'shnei dibros harishonos how you shomim hadibor, the first two they heard the sound. Umevinim also mimenu, and they understood it. Kasher yavin also Moshe, as Moshe understood it. Valkein daber imam kasher daber adon elavdo. And therefore, he said it. He spoke with them, as a master speaks to a servant. Mikan ve'elach. But from then on, bishara dibros, and the rest of the dibros, yishmu kol adibur v'levino. So, the last eight, they heard a sound and they didn't understand it. V'yitzarach Moshe l'targem lahem kol dibur v'dibur ad shivino sov Moshe. And the Moshe needed to translate it. So, in other words, the Rambam says all ten they didn't understand. They heard a sound they didn't understand. The Ramban says that the first two, they heard all ten. The first two, they understood. The last eight, they didn't understand. And Moshe had to translate for them. What's the reason? Ramban says, "Va'kavanah be'hayisah b'zeh." What's the intent? Shi'ukulam nevim. They should all be prophets. Be'munas Hashem, right? They should be prophets and they should believe in God, right? And then, so they understand that the Torah is true. Aval bishar dibros, but the rest of dibros, they would understand that Moshe has superior knowledge than they do. In other words, what we really have to do is ask ourselves, what's the purpose of the Aseres HaDibros? We sort of have three different approaches, or maybe even four. We have one approach which says that they only overheard a voice. They didn't really hear anything, and Moshe, they didn't hear anything, and Moshe had to explain everything to them. Maybe the first two they got through their own understanding. Ibn Ezra, they heard everything from God. And then you have Rashi and Ramban, they heard the first two and not the last eight. Rashi may hold that the first two they heard, then they got afraid, and the last eight they heard from God, from Moshe. And the Ramban will say, the first two they understood, the last eight didn't understand. So the philosophical question is, what's the purpose of the Dibros? And I think that there are two possibilities at least. One is to prove God's existence. And number two is to prove that Moshe is God's messenger. If the people did not hear God directly, so then the purpose of revelation is not to prove God's existence. They believe in God after the Aseres HaDibros. I'm sorry, after the Eser Makos, after Kriyas Yamas. They believe in God. What's the purpose of the Aseres HaDibros, of the revelation? Was to tell them to believe in Moshe's prophecy. That's exactly what the Rambam says. The goal is to believe that Moshe emes v'torasso emes. So they didn't have to hear it. They just had to hear a sound to establish Moshe's credentials that he truly is not just a magician, but he is the true prophet of God. If the people heard God directly, then the divine revelation to a mass audience is one of the strongest proofs of God's existence and the Torah's divine origin. Perhaps sort of like what the Sefer Kuzari, you know, says. That's the proof of that. Because 600,000 people, they couldn't have made this up. If both happened, if some they heard from God directly and some they heard from Moshe, then maybe you can argue that both goals are important. That's like the Ramban. On the one hand, the first two, everyone had to hear something to prove the Torah's divine origin. But also, you need to believe that Moshe emes v'torasso emes. You are not like Moshe. You heard something to establish that God is God, and then the, and you know, that, that God, you know, to prove God's existence, God's power, but also Moshe is the Navi who's going to give over the Torah. So that's why you have some direct from God and some not direct from God. Or perhaps we could also argue that this highlights our relationship of God of being both a relationship of Ava and Yira. Because if you think about what's Mamad Har Sinai, God first says to Moshe, I'm going to come in the thickness of cloud. You're going to eavesdrop. The Bnei Yisrael will eavesdrop. I'm going to have a conversation with you, Moshe, and Bnei Yisrael are going to eavesdrop. And Bnei Yisrael said, no, we want to hear directly from you, God. So there's a feeling of Ava, want to come close. And then what happens? They hear a few dibros and they're too scared. There's Yira. And that's okay. And so maybe Mamad Har Sinai is a paradigm for a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu as being both one of Ava and also being one of Yira. So these are different approaches as to, number one, how the revelation happened and the purpose of the different approaches. The underlying philosophy, what was the goal? Was it to prove God's existence? Was it to prove Moshe is the true messenger? And maybe also to try to create this tension of Ava and Yira in our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu.